Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in and listening. And we have, excuse my coughing, we have Larry on us with us. He's on his mountaintop, and I guess, what do you got up there? Freezing rain or still rain or what's going on?
Well, storm after storm after storm, and it's washed away the ice, but now it's just tons of rain and electromagnetic problems like you would never believe. It reminds me of Independence Day. You remember where all the satellite images were coming into people's TVs? It worked a little and it didn't work a little, and that's how it
yes.
is up here.
Wow. Well, it may have something to do with that sunspot. Aren't we in the middle of kind of a electromagnetic storm?
No, we are, and I'll give that information. You want me to go ahead and give it now?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Yesterday, actually, NOAA and Space Weather both gave out an alert, said that Earth's magnetic field is ringing like a bell as the sun's high-speed solar wind is passing Earth, and they talked about the stems, recordings of pulsations in continuous PC waves, which they actually checked the ground wave, the energy in the ground, and also the atmosphere above Sweden is where they detect this, and they said that this was higher than they have ever seen, and this is with, Stuart, a blank sun. The sun is blank. There are zero sunspots. There are zero coronal holes. This is something the sun's doing, and they don't have a clue why, but it's ongoing, and I believe that's what's disrupting a lot of our satellites, you know, just like my satellite news and the Internet. It comes and goes. It's really weird. You lose the voice, and then you lose the picture, and I mean, this is just phenomenal. And by the way, they're saying that this energy from the sun that's unexplainable is supercharging the auroras. And, of course, those are going on over Sweden and different areas, too. So we're having a sun anomaly that's occurring now.
Yeah, well, the sun is very anomalous. And I noticed that the radiation charts are going off. They just keep climbing. And I do remember that the FAA released a report on it telling pregnant stewardesses not to fly over the poles and be careful about the radiation for flight crews. And, it's, you know, this is an ongoing escalation, I guess one could say, of very odd behavior in the cosmos. So I guess it shouldn't surprise anyone that this is happening. Because Jesus said there would be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And we know from other sources, ancient sources, that like the Book of the Colburn, which is a very fascinating book, that as we approach the time of the end, that the stars actually begin to change and they become restless, which is what Jesus said. The heavens become restless and things are going out of whack. And if they have no explanation for a blank sun doing all this, this is precisely what I thought was going to happen. They will have no explanations for what's going on. They just simply won't be able to explain it scientifically. And, of course, I think people forget that the Lord, all he has to do is tweak the laws of physics or the laws of the cosmos a little bit and throws it all off. And, you know, the Lord is all-powerful. And he warned us that some of this stuff was going to come. But part of the agenda, I guess. Anyway, that's fascinating. I would assume from that then that the telephone glitches, the online glitches, and all of this will just continue to increase as we go further and further in. Is that what you're reading from that?
Oh, that's what I'm hearing too, Stuart. I'm receiving information from different people that, you know, everywhere they're having glitches with telephones, calls dropped, people leaving radio shows like I do. And, I mean, it's just phenomenal, and it's snowballing. It's not going down to lesser activity. Mm-hmm. It's literally, like you said, it's rising. It's going up.
How about the health? Have you had any more reports on people really getting wiped out, you know, tired, brain fog, muscle aches, pains, et cetera, et cetera? I know, you know, the electromagnetic anomalies are beginning to occur. And, you know, we've had the Atlantic anomaly for some time. And you remember that jet airliner that kind of disappeared? And it was sort of in the middle of that Atlantic anomaly when that occurred. There were two of them, I think, that ran into some serious trouble. Have you heard anything about people being, you know, sick? I know Stan on the island there, what's the name of that? I can't think of the name of it. The volcanic island that they're afraid is going to slide into the sea.
Yeah, that
there was an anomaly over there that made people sick, if I recall.
Yeah, that was La Palma was the name of that island,
the Canary
Islands. And also, I've been getting more reports of people having trouble with their memory and having trouble thinking clearly, and a lot of people are having body aches and pains. And by the way, even though it's not in the mainstream media anymore, there are still a lot of people dying from this so-called flu virus that's going around. It hasn't stopped. It's still ongoing. It's just not being covered by the news.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about that flu virus. Maybe sometime we can get into all that, but it looked to me like this is engineered. I mean, it's all part of the depopulation agenda that's going on. And, you know, the powers that be are the powers that be. It's like chemtrails. How do you have chemtrails all over the world? You can't spray apple orchards or anything like that without getting permission to do it. And yet we have chemtrails all over the world. So this proves there is a global hierarchy that's orchestrating all of this. For the people that don't believe in conspiracy theories, they need to read Psalm 2. Kings of the earth and the rulers, the rich men, all get together. And ultimately, of course, the goal is to get rid of Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Ghost from off the planet. I don't think it works too well for them, but at least you got to give them credit for trying. It's kind of a stupid try, though, don't you think? As you have said, the rich people are the most deceived of all. They really think they can do this.
Yeah, they have expectations that they're going to get away with it. And all along, it's so amazing that the Torah codes literally lay them out and call them for what they are. And the Torah codes are literally a message from the future that is embedded in the past. And as the future plays out, we just call it up like a computer, run the codes, and here all of these people in present day are exposed.
Yeah, this is the one thing I can't understand about the very rich people and the governments of the world. I would ask them only one question. How is it that 2,500 years ago, they are doing exactly what those prophets said they would be doing? How do they explain that? You know, you would think that would make them think, but Daniel says the wicked will never understand. So, you know, it's kind of, they won't, no matter what. So I guess it is. You said you had a new code from Barry. Let's get into that, as long as we're talking about Bible codes.
Yeah, it's very anomalous. It's very strange. It's got phrases in it, and I wanted you to comment when I get through. Barry was, this is a code from February the 22nd, which was, I guess, yesterday, 2018. He entitled it Tachyons and Wormholes. It's still under construction. But he's got nine words or phrases here, and I'm going to read it twice so I can really emphasize the phrases in a better way, a better pattern. But this is something he's been looking into, and I'd like to hear the phrases are really interesting with the time we're dealing with, and also, you know, the pivot point, and also the, I guess you could say, you know, the activities that's going on around the planet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, number one, tachyon to the past. Number two, Torah. Number three, wormhole. Number four is a phrase that says, for him who is here with us standing today. Number five is a phrase that says, and those who are not with us today. And number six is a phrase that says, at the same time. Number seven, sky. Number eight, UFO. Number nine, intelligence. And the part I'll read again is is in the beginning. Tachyon to the past, Torah, wormhole, and then for him who is here with us standing today, and those who are not with us today, at the same time.
Wow. Well, that sounds like time travel. I'm not convinced totally that time travel. Obviously, how do I word this? If you're in the eternal, you're outside of time and space. Therefore, they are time travelers because you can enter time and space anywhere you choose. And, you know, I've often wondered, because when the Lord was alive, he said, remember when he said, there be some standing here that will see the kingdom of heaven arrive, and there will be some here that will see me come back? Well, that was, what, 2,000 years ago? So how is that possible that the people 2,000 years ago are going to see the arrival, the actual arrival of the Lord? Because that's exactly what he said. You're going to see me come back. So,
well,
the only explanation I have, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to dovetail in there real quick that what's interesting to me, having experienced some of this stuff, you know, when you were actually making Project Red Star and you were actually working on the Tithonia on Mars.
Yes.
And I began to have these experiences. One of the things that I failed to insert or inquire of in every single experience I had was when. You know, I knew where, I knew what was going on, I could observe all of these things and relate them to you, and you could tie them in to Tithonia or different places on Mars or, you know, the planet. But the only thing was, Stuart, that I failed at the time to understand was I wasn't completely sure when that was occurring, whether it was a little bit in the past, present time. I assume most of it was present time because I couldn't assume anything else, or future. And I didn't inquire those things, and now that I look back, you know, when we're out of our body, we're not sure what time it is. It's almost like somebody says, you know, when the Lord's taking you out in your spirit body and taking you somewhere to show you something, you know, number one, you don't know when it is unless he tells you or you ask. And then on the other hand, people says, well, how big was that? Well, you don't have a clue. Because your body's different, and the dimensions are different.
Yeah, you've moved from time-space into a whole new dimension. And it's a dimension jump. I'm convinced myself that the temple in Jerusalem or David's tabernacle in the wilderness are indicative of the creation of the human race. And you go from the world and the world of consciousness and all that. I don't want to get into it because it's extensive. But when you get to the Holy of Holies and you enter the Holy of Holies, you're at a portal. You're at a door. Remember when Jesus said, I stand at the door.
That's right.
So, yeah, there's the dimensional jumping here. Yeah, it's very, very important. But that is an unusual. So what he's really talking about here, time travelers, is that what you get out of it? That they're here, but they're not here.
Yeah, it seems to tie in with some type of time travel or or I guess you could also say at the same time, messages from the past, which he's really looking into in his codes because of the message he did receive from, you know, he was given a message, and he's working on that, and it reminds me a lot of the movie Deja Vu, if you remember that.
Yes.
They actually sent a message back that changed things. They sent it back in time, remember?
Yep. The only problem I have with some of this is I think you can observe the past and probably can observe the future. And the reason I say that is that they're getting this information. You know, the fellow, I can't think of his, Jonathan Click, I think is his name, who he's an artist, and he spots stuff that you would never see, but he points it out very, very plainly. But he was saying that he's the one who did the dollar bills, $100 bills, $10 bills, $20 bills. He has one of the, I can't remember if it's a $20 bill denomination or which one it was, but it shows the Oklahoma City bombing of the building. It's exactly the way it looked when the bombs went off. Now, how did they know that? How do you do that? Unless they have gone into the future and looked. The reason I say they can't tamper with the past, because if they could tamper with the past, then Bible prophecy could be eliminated and destroyed. And Jesus said, not one dot, not one tittle is ever going to pass from what you've been told. So that means Daniel the prophet, Jeremiah, and Isaiah are absolutely accurate in everything they say.
Go ahead. The interesting thing, just attached to that, what we're talking about, is Ed Dames, because remember in the latest book he put out, that not a lot of people have, actually, he revealed that they were remote viewing where the Ark was taken in Jerusalem from the temple, you know, where did they secret it away? And he said that when they were trying to view this, when the priests were trying to save the Ark, he said that something stood in the way of them viewing that, and it wasn't human. So that just tells you that some things you're not allowed to deal with, and some secrets will not be revealed.
Yeah. Yeah. This is such a fascinating subject. I think the Lord gave us a lot of clues about time and space. You just got to know where to look. But actually, messages from the past are exactly what Bible prophecy is. It's a message that was given 2,500 years ago. And a lot of people think that Bible prophecy is prediction or looking at trends. It isn't. God sits outside of time and space. He has seen the entire Alpha and Omega. He says, I've seen the beginning from and the end from the beginning. So he has seen everything that's going to happen. And he wrote it down through the prophets. So that's why Bible prophecy is always 100% accurate. It does not have any errors in it because the Lord has already seen what's going to happen. He just simply gave it to those people like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, and whatnot, and they wrote it down as they were instructed, and we have that book. And if you really study that book, you find out what's coming. So, yeah, very, very interesting. I wanted to read several prophecies. One of them is called A Very Disturbing Prophetic Dream. And the second one is from a lady, and she talks about the North Korean. And before I get into that, though, there's a fellow that he says, Stuart, if possible, please provide links to the grand prophecies that you allude to in your commentary. Go to YouTube, and when you get to YouTube, you can type in what you want. Just type in Billy Graham Prophecies, and it's got Benny Hinn and all the people that made prophecies. So I want to get that out of the way. But anyway, this ties in some ways to Billy Graham's funeral. And he's going to be laying in state at the Rotunda, right? In Washington?
Yeah, the headline that came out today, it says Billy Graham will lie in honor in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda with a two-day viewing on February the 28th and March the 1st. And I think they're going to have quite a bit of notable people arrive. He's being treated like a president, actually.
Or a king, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, here's this disturbing prophetic dream. Several months ago, while I was extensively studying Matthew 7:22 through 24 and asking God for increased revelation, I had one of the most disturbing prophetic dreams of my life. The scripture I was studying in Matthew says, many, and the word many means vast majority, will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not cast out demons? And in your name, perform many miracles? And then I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I could get into this thing for hours, but I don't want to do that because we got to get to the news. But I want to continue with it. In the prophetic dream, I was taken to hell, where I saw all these leaders and individuals who had performed miracles, cast out demons, and prophesied. What I was shown next, I will never forget. The Holy Spirit showed me long lines of people behind all of these leaders. He immediately revealed to me that these were all the people that had received the miracles, prophecies, and had been at one time delivered. And as I gazed at the people in these lines, he said to me, did they not receive miracles, prophecy, and deliverance? Yet I never knew them. I woke up from the dream alarmed and startled. I said to the Holy Spirit, so there are not only people that will perform signs, wonders, and miracles that will be sent to hell, but also people who receive all these things will also be in hell. Why? Immediately, the Holy Spirit spoke again to me and said, because those that work miracles, prophesied, and cast out demons never preached the full gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the message of repentance. They were so in love with their gifts that I had given them, that people became trophies and souvenirs to them. When my power would be manifest in their ministries, they would tell people that I loved them, but never that they needed to repent. I tell you that a great deception, now this is what's interesting because of the prophecies of Billy Graham and a great revival is coming. I tell you that a great deception will sweep over the signs and wonders movement in the earth. Beware of those ministries where miracles and prophecies will flow, but the message of repentance is a no-go. You have been warned. Then I woke up. That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Oh, that's frightening. But, you know, one of the words, repentance, it actually goes along with, you know, on the page of Psalm 2. Nobody ever talks about that.
Well, it's, in fact, modern Christian theology tells you that repentance is a work. It's some sort of a legalism. We are saved by grace through faith, and that's all we got to do is just believe. But if you really read what Jesus Christ said, he uses the word repentance quite a bit. So anyway, here's the next one. The world is now ready for war. The red horse has now stirred the hearts of evil men. My son, hear the word of the Lord and write this down. My churches are full of lying spirits. They speak in my name, yet I know them not. What did he just say in the other prophecy? I didn't know them. And this has to do with repentance. Anyway, the lying Jezebel has so infiltrated my body, sexual sins that were abhorred by my people are accepted and promoted. False doctrines abound that are not in my word, yet because my people are ignorant of my word, they are being deceived. My son, the judgments that my watchmen and the true prophets speak are now in progress. Remember when we've talked about judgment, everybody poo-poos it. We're not under judgment. What are you talking about? You know, the hurricanes, all of that, the fires, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, all eyes must watch Israel. Here's the key. For that is my timepiece, and soon Israel will be expanding her boundaries. The world is now ready for war. The red horse has now stirred the hearts of evil men to be filled with lust and jealousy. My people Israel are now moved to defend themselves, and all the world will gasp at the end result. Israel will become the most hated of all nations, and America will condemn harshly with words. Doesn't that remind you of, what was it, Henry Groover?
Yeah.
Didn't he say something Israel did that got the whole world to hate Israel? And we were given an opportunity to defend Israel, and instead we didn't.
That was very interesting. Yeah, Henry said that Israel would be forced to remove the Palestinian issue from the table, and that when they did that, the world would go insane. And he said that America would fall under massive judgment when they had the UN Security Council meeting against Israel in Geneva, not New York, but in Geneva, if we went and joined the world against Israel.
Then we would get it. Yeah, then this is interesting, too. America, with all her pride, will with confidence attack North Korea after the Olympic Games. The victory will only infill the nation and the king with more pride. My son, pride goeth before the fall, and this nation has great pride and will have a great fall. My children, hear my word. Thus saith the Lord, prepare your heart, for a time of great testing is upon you. Prepare your houses, for great destruction is upon you. Prepare your storehouse, for many of my children will perish for famine and pestilence. Prepare to trust me in all things. That will require great faith. If you cannot have faith in me during good times, how will you walk in faith during the testing? My children, you have not been taught faith. You have been taught greed by wolves in sheep's clothing that have polluted the gospel and how to walk in faith. The time is now. The testing is coming. Keep my body in the word. So there you go. I mean, this is two very serious warnings. And one of the reasons I bring them up is because of the timing just before Billy Graham passed away. These warnings were to an apostate church.
I was going to mention that you mentioned North Korea, and Standeo, that's standeo.com, left portion of his news for today. Let me just read you three of the articles. Life after an EMP attack, no power in America. North Korean satellites in place for devastating EMP attack on the U.S. Blind leading the blind toward an EMP abyss.
Wow. Well, that kind of does say it all. It really does. They got a little more news on Graham, too, here. It's kind of interesting. When Billy Graham died, or more accurately fell asleep, exactly 153 days after the Feast of Trumpets 2017. Isn't that interesting? 153, if you look it up, means fruit bearing. And 88 days before Pentecost 2018. And, of course, 8 means a new beginning or rebirth. Abraham was 99 years old when God established an everlasting covenant with him, changed his name from Abram, commanded him to be circumcised, and promised him a son, the son of promise. So there you go. And I added in here that Graham died in the Hebrew year 5778. When you add it up, that's 27, or 999, or an inverted 666. Isn't that interesting?
Well, it is, Stuart, and on top of that, you know, if you'll remember the Drudge headline that I read the morning that that was posted the morning that Billy Graham died, it said Billy Graham dead and evangelist of the whole world. And then the third headline was the Trump team had just addressed that morning when Billy Graham died of the they addressed the UN Security Council of the Mideast peace plan that they were beginning to do. And then, by the way, and I'd like your opinion here, because Headline News today actually came out and indicated, they said, and here it is, I'll just read it from the Times of Israel, in Israel, it says, U.S. to move embassy to Jerusalem on May the 14th, the day of Israel's 70th anniversary, and there's all those numbers. And then I did hear a backup of that. They, Fox News and One American News today reported that Tillerson had already signed the contract moving the Israeli embassy on the 14th of May to Jerusalem.
Wow. And then, of course, we do have the Sanhedrin back in, and they're finding all the stuff they need to perform the temple sacrifices, et cetera, et cetera. Just as you said, here's a part of it. And as if perfectly or divinely planned, news broke just yesterday when Graham died that the United States is finalizing its long-awaited Middle East peace plan and just briefed the United Nations Security Council on some of its key details. We're here, folks, so get ready. Stay alert. The Revelation 12 sign and all the incredible subsequent signs were all red alerts. Perhaps the final major alarm for the church. And those warnings are a final alarm for the church that the salvation gospel of modern Christianity is an apostate one. It's not real. It's not true. It's half-truth. Anyway, then I'm reminded, he says that Methuselah died the very year the flood came, and that if Graham is a type of Methuselah, perhaps his death might indicate the proximity of the next and final global cataclysm. And that's what I'm wondering about. And here's what the daughter of Billy Graham said. I can't remember her first name. Anyway, one of the things that I thought possibly only God would know, when my father goes to heaven one more time, the gospel will be preached to the whole world. And remember, she cites Matthew 24:14, that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, notice he doesn't say they're going to accept it, just that it will be preached.
Yeah.
And Billy Graham did he not, some time ago, actually do a global broadcast and preached the gospel?
Well, he did, and yeah, he did, and I listened to his grandson on Fox News a couple of nights ago, and the grandson said that when Billy Graham did that last address that he gave the world, basically, or gave the country and the world, that Billy told him that the Lord just empowered me to be able to stand up and get this message. And the grandson said when the message was given, he sat back down and said, I'm going to heaven soon. Said he removed that power so that I can, you know, go to heaven. So Billy Graham already knew, and the grandson already had began to warn the family and different people that the Lord was about to take him out. So, and that's what's interesting, because you mentioned that number that you had there, 150-something, and I remember that... Yeah, that Billy Graham was 99 years old when he passed away, and that's 3 times 33, and 33 is the number for promise.
Yes. Yeah, and what he preached, of course, was the promise of the Lord. So all the numbers fit together. It's kind of fascinating to me how all of this works, and it's none of it is by accident. This is, you know, the Lord has a plan. He's working it out. But he also gives warnings. Yes, God does love everyone, but he also told us what we were to do. And now that's all been just passed by the wayside. if people want me to get into that a lot more, just email me and tell me at enigma@trueinsight.com, and I will do a program on it. There is a very good reason why those warnings are coming out and why the modern gospel is untrue. It's a partial truth, and a partial truth in the eyes of the Lord is a lie. So you have to be very, very careful, and people are just not studying. Just like he said in that prophecy, my people are ignorant. They don't really understand what the Bible is telling them. Moving on to something else. Large bat-winged man observed near Whitewater, Wisconsin. Isn't that kind of fascinating? We're getting more and more of this. What do you think?
Absolutely getting more and more of it. It's getting more bizarre, Stuart. We've now gone from this winged creature, humanoid creature, that started out around Chicago and started showing up in Florida. We're now finding out it's also showing up in Michigan and Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know that prophecy, I can't remember who gave it, but the prophecy of the huge, well, I know Red Elk did say that a huge, huge earthquake was going to strike Lake Michigan. And it would be an earthquake where underneath the water, the land would rise up 800 or 1,000 feet, which is huge. And to the south, it would raise up on the south part, and all the water would then be thrown to the north. And then it would do just the opposite, and it would create an inland tsunami. It would wipe out Chicago, all points to the south, and go all the way into the Gulf. And
Red Elk had that information, Stuart. The guy that the prophetic guy that gave that was Chuck Youngbrandt from Washington State.
Oh, okay. That's devastating. And it affects the whole Midwest. In fact, according to the prophecies, even St. Paul and Minneapolis, Minnesota are wrecked, basically wrecked. So that's the middle of the country. I noticed they're having all kinds of earthquakes out west.
Quite a bit of activity. There's a lot of warnings. Yeah, there's a lot of warnings out west, the west coast. And now there's a lot of warnings about the region of Iceland all the way to the Canary Islands up at La Palma.
Wow. Well, I wonder if these Mothman sightings, remember Point Pleasant, Mothman was sighted for a year or more before that bridge collapsed. And lots of Mothman sightings have been around Chicago, which would be indicative, of course, of that major earthquake when it occurs. But, I don't think any of this stuff is too far away. I guess this person said a man-like being with huge pterodactyl-like wings glided in front of her and behind another car, flying from right to left at an altitude of about 10 feet or so above the road. That would scare anybody, I think. Okay,
and
what else you got? Go ahead.
There's a lot of anomalous things going on and people seeing and experiencing things. I got a letter from a guy we'll just call John. You want me to go ahead and read that?
Yeah, go ahead.
He said, hello, Stuart and Larry. He says, I was listening to you guys on today's 2/14/2018 broadcast. You had mentioned about the skier that appeared disoriented in California. I am telling you that it happens, that I had a few times in my life that I had what I call a time skip. This one particular time, I was walking out of a grocery store one summer morning that I can remember as I was walking to my truck, how blue and beautiful sky. And as I got toward the back of the truck, heading around to the passenger door, I got real dizzy, confused. Pressure around me was increasing, like tense pea-thick soup feeling. a loud buzz, and then a compression pain crack that I felt inside and outside my head. I felt myself going black. My left arm reached around and grabbed tight on the back of the right side of my truck. My right foot went down into what appeared to be a thick, deep bog. My left foot firmly planted on the cement next to my right back tire. Now, you know, you got to remember, he's on a parking lot. He said, I looked down. He said, I seen my left foot on the parking lot, my right foot and leg stuck in mud almost to my knee. I looked to my right, and I seen a thick bog and a lake off in the distance. Said trees were like fall time. Said I looked to my left, and up about 1.5 foot was the parking lot and my truck. My left foot was stuck. I pulled with all my might to my truck and said with a lot of effort, the right foot came loose, and with a loud pop and jerk, I crashed into my truck. At the same time, the compression within my head and around me popped, decompressed, and I was back in the parking lot. Said I felt like I lost my shoe. Looking down, my shoe was there, but as I took off my shoe, and my sock was full of mud. No mud on the shoe itself. This is a true event. All I know is if I was not holding tight to my truck, I don't think I would have been sitting down here typing you this letter. I have had events in my 20 to 30 years where I would be going somewhere, 45 minutes have passed, and I would suddenly come to as I'm driving down the highway 2 or 3 states over, taking all day to get back home. Said, thankfully, it doesn't happen to me for years now. And it's signed to John. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there have really had some incredible experiences. But John sat down and sent us a letter, and I appreciate him doing that, and that's his experience.
Yeah. Folks out there listening, if you've had strange occurrences, let us know. You can email me at enigma@trueinsight.com, or you can write Larry and you can write me, and P.O. Box 55 here in Downsville, Wisconsin, 54735 is the address. We'd love to hear from you on these kind of things because they're going to increase. In my family, we've had several of those very weird experiences. One quite old, I think she probably my great-great-grandmother, maybe even further back. But anyway, she was sleeping one night and was awoken and saw this woman at the foot of her bed drenched in water. And she was startled, and then the woman said, "The boat sank, and everybody on board was lost." Well, part of her family was coming over on one of the boats. And lo and behold, a couple weeks later, they found out, yes, indeed, the boat had sunk.
Wow.
And all hands were lost. Now, how do you explain those kind of things? You know, I don't think we know anything about our universe. We just think we know. You know, part of it. But there's that spiritual side. There's that Mandela side of it, you know, where people are, you know, wondering what in the world is really going on. Well, I call it the paranormal. And actually, I think the Bible is the most paranormal book ever given to humanity. It's also a true book. And the truth is in there if you want to go dig it out and find it. But it has a lot of paranormal activity in it. And paranormal is very real. In fact, I think it's more real than reality myself. It's like a dream. What is a dream? You know, they're extremely real if you have vivid dreams. They're more real than reality. And how do you explain that? What is it? You know, does your mind just conjure it all up? I mean, you can have, I don't know if people, a lot of people dream in color, I do, but the smell, the touch, everything is more real than when you're wide awake. What do you think a dream is, Larry? Never talked to you about it.
Well, there are different kind of dreams. You know, I've had what I call head dreams, where I just dream about stuff that maybe I'm thinking about when I go to bed, which you know, I do different things, and you know, I never succeed hard in what I'm doing. It's mostly a struggle dream. But then there are dreams that are absolutely so vivid, when I wake up, I can still smell and taste, and you literally experience it to a degree you cannot explain. And those are the dreams, those vivid ones, Stuart, that you'll never forget them. You can always recall them, and you can just lay them out the same every time. You don't forget them. And I cannot explain. There's, you know, I almost want to call them spirit dreams.
Yeah, there's something about the human mind and how it works. I think the secret to all of this is in the temple, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. I'll get into that sometime because I think you can absolutely prove it, that the key to salvation is actually in the temple and how it's constructed. And we are basically constructed the same way with our conscious mind, unconscious mind, and the hidden inner man that Paul talks about. Anyway, it's all kind of interesting. I suppose we could spend an hour or more on each one of those things. What else you got?
Well, we've got there's been an unusual number of prophetic dreams and visions over the last few weeks that are coming out, especially Z3 News and places, involving Obama, Barack Obama, and possible return. And they actually had a very interesting one today. I hadn't posted it yet. It's basically, you know, I think I maybe sent you a copy or told you about it, but it has, it says to watch, and there's some more that are coming out too, but watch closely Barack Hussein Obama and Pope Francis, because they appear to be going to link up, if prophetically what these people have showed is true, and begin a takeover somewhat. And we've already found information from Tom Horn's book and other information that the Obama administration, you know, actually conspired with George Soros and others to bring down Pope Benedict, to put Pope Francis into place. And at the same time, you know, if you'll notice, Pope Francis is not a supporter of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, at the same time, Stuart, and I'd like your opinion here, we've got Barack Hussein Obama and Pope Francis on one side, and at the same time right now, they're trying to take out Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu at this point in time, at the pivot point.
Yeah, and that pivot point is very real, folks. We move from 2017, 2018, and 70 years, jubilees, et cetera, et cetera, plus all the star signs. So there's definitely something underfoot. Don't forget that it was Obama and the Pope who shook hands in Washington, D.C. on 9/23 in Washington, exactly at 9:23 in the morning. They shook hands. And that's not by accident. You might remember that they said, well, the Pope was delayed for some reason. No, he wasn't. They were timing it so that the handshake between Obama and the Pope would be exactly on 9:23 a.m. in the morning. All of these things, the occult, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, they work by the numbers. And at the same time all that is going on, here's something I wanted to get into a little bit. Report, China developing Orwellian social credit system that could threaten democracy. Now, I got into this a little bit on the last program, I think. I just wanted to read one paragraph, and I want your comments, Larry. The Chinese government plans to launch its social credit system in 2020. The aim is to judge the trustworthiness of the country's 1.3 billion residents by monitoring and evaluating their purchases, who their friends are, how much time they spend watching TV or playing video games, what bills and taxes they pay or don't, and where they are at any given time. That's kind of dangerous, folks. But it's coming here.
Wow.
And I want to get into the guns, too, and I want Larry to comment on some of the stuff he ran into as a sheriff, deputy, and police officer. Okay, here's something I want to read. The government, and this is from 1991, this is Bill Cooper. I want to read it again. The government encouraged the manufacture and importation of military firearms for the criminals to use. This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms, using drugs and hypnosis on mental patients in a process called Orion, probably MK Ultra type. The CIA inculcated the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. This plan is well underway and so far is working perfectly. The middle class is begging the government to do away with the Second Amendment. Now, this ties directly over to State Department 7277, the document they released a long time ago. I want to read just so that you guys know what's actually happening all over in America. The overall goal of the United States is a free, secure, and a peaceful world of independent states adhering to common standards of justice, international conduct, subjecting the use of force to the rule of law, a world which has achieved general and complete disarmament under effective international control, and a world in which adjustment to change takes place in accordance with the principles of the United Nations. Now, the United Nations is a communist organization. It operates under communist charter. In order to make possible the achievement of that goal, the program sets forth the following specific objectives towards the nation, which so they would direct their efforts: the disbanding of all national armed forces, the prohibition of their reestablishment in any form whatsoever, other than those required to preserve internal order and for contributions to a United Nations peace force, the elimination from national arsenals of all armaments, including all weapons of mass destruction and the means for their delivery, other than those required for the United Nations peace force and for maintaining internal order. Then there's another one. During the third stage of this program, the states of the world, building on experience and confidence gained in implementation of measures 1 and 2, would take the final steps towards the goal of a world in which states would retain only those forces, non-nuclear armaments, and establishments required for the purpose of maintaining internal order. They would also support and provide agreed manpower for the ever-expanding UN peace force. So there you go. That's what this is all about, folks. What do you think, Larry?
Hey, I don't know how someone could look at the history of where we've came with this same issue over and over and over, and where we're at today with the insanity, just literally one news group after another after the guns. They're after the guns, you know? And matter of fact, they've even moved in the position now. They're wanting to change or amend the Constitution because they are claiming, the left is, what I've heard on Fox, is that the Second Amendment is all about militias, and militias should have their guns locked in armories somewhere, that the people at home don't need the guns. If there's a need in militia, they could go to the armory and gather their guns up and band together there. But see, history shows that everybody yep. had their own guns for their own personal protection in their own homes in the beginning of this country, and then they wrote the Constitution that indicated that. And it had nothing to do with an armory. The guns belonged to the people, and the people brought the guns to the field from their homes.
Yep, the people were the militia. The individual was the militia, not some National Guard. They're all lying to the people to get this thing through so that we can be disarmed. And then the killing starts. It's happened everywhere. They take the guns. First, they register them, usually. And I think what do they call it, when they check your background, I think that is secretly, I think they're collecting all the names of the people that go through this background check. And they know who they are, and it's kind of like when you register with the sheriff department for carry. They know exactly who's got the guns. And this is all going to come out in the open when this thing starts to go down. Anyway,
you know, I wondered about Anton Johansson's experience where he saw a second American Revolution, in other words, a trouble where the nation was divided. And I'll tell you what, from the last few days watching the reports on this thing about the guns and where they're trying to go with it, it appears if there is a revolution or a civil war begun in America, it may be literally over the guns.
Yeah, it could very easily be, because if they pass something to get rid of the guns, I think there will be a civil war. I don't think, maybe in the cities they can get them, but in the rural districts, there's no way these people are going to give up their guns. And I don't know exactly how they think they're going to go out and get them. What they seem to forget is that you have large families that are all interconnected in areas, and if they try to take out one, then you got 200 of that family that's going to come after. I don't care if they're National Guard. I don't care if it's Sheriff Department. They'll come after them, and they'll kill them. It's going to be really, really ugly. Speaking about that, what about this guy that was a guard and ran away, even though he had a gun? You know, I've often wondered, and I know we talked about this before the show this afternoon, but what's going on with the police now? It seems like they're out to protect themselves rather than go in and take down the shooters. What's your comment? You were in that. Well, you were pretty aggressive. I read some newspaper article. When somebody's doing something wrong, you go get them.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's not how they do things hardly anymore. But what's so interesting is the fact that. You know, this was apparently a sheriff's deputy that was working as a school resource officer in Parkland, where the guy came in and shot up the school, shot the students, and he actually went out the other side of the building, did not confront the attacker. He took his gun and went out the other side and waited on the police to show up. He never engaged. He never even went towards the shooter. He went away from the shooter, and this is what you got, Stuart, and people are so stupid. They don't even think. You know, number one, we make our schools gun-free zones, that's really another word for a killing field.
Yes.
Where there's no resistance. And then on the other hand, during my tenure as a police officer, the individual that becomes a school resource officer, or in other words, somebody that's an officer that's farmed out to the school system, usually they don't send the best cops to do that, because they literally send the one they don't want backing them up, that they can't trust, and is usually a lot of times a coward. That's a good job for a guy that's a coward. He can go to school with all these young kids, and he can march around with his big gun and be seen. But, of course, if somebody comes through the door with a rifle or another gun blazing, well, he's nowhere to be found. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, Stuart.
Yeah. Well, those were the days when, police were police. Now they put on all this stuff. They hide behind trees, cars, and whatnot, and it's just, it makes you wonder what's really happening, why this is going on. We got to talk about that sometime on one of these shows, because you have a lot of experience in that area, and it just seems like there's been a big change in the courage, I guess. Maybe that's the word. I'm not sure what the word is in the police departments. And it's more like, well, we're going to protect ourselves and not take any chances. Anyway, thanks for coming on, Larry. And we got to close out here in about 20 seconds. Any final word?
Well, I was just going to say, for people that are thinking they're going to dial 911 when things go bad, better think again.
Okay. Well, good night, everyone, and thanks for listening. Thank you again, Larry. And we'll see you next week, the Lord willing, and we certainly hope he is.